Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators, a podcast for translators by translators, bringing you simple strategies to build better habits. In each episode, we'll focus on specific habits for translators in various stages of their careers. If you're a translator who enjoys learning about habits to improve your business and lifestyle, then this is the podcast for you. We're your hosts, Madalena Sanchez-Zampalo
and Veronica De Michelis. Like you, we are professional freelance translators trying to balance the challenges that come with building a career and maintaining clarity and boundaries between work and personal life. We hope you'll join us in this conversation about smart habits and discover some simple strategies you can apply today to help you build your career and achieve the lifestyle you desire.
Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators. This is episode 68. This episode is special for several reasons. We are recording it together, not virtually together, but at the same location for the first time ever. We're both in Houston at the time we're recording this, which is very exciting. And secondly, we will be discussing probably our favorite topic ever, books.
That's right. And not just any books, but our favorite books about habits. It's no secret that we love reading about smart habits, so we thought we should dedicate an entire episode to this topic. As Veronica said, we're here in Houston. We are just together for a few days and decided to go ahead and record an episode together. And we know that a lot of our listeners enjoy hearing about books and sharing books, so we thought we would share some of our favorites here. We could probably talk about more than the ones we're going to discuss today, but we definitely will talk about maybe our top favorites on habits in this episode. So I'll start with my first one. It's probably one that most people have heard of. It's called Atomic Habits by James Clear. It's pretty well known by now. And if you haven't heard of James Clear, he is sort of considered an expert on creating new habits. And I really enjoy this book because I find that a lot of his advice is very practical and systematized, which works well with the way that I think. So the whole premise of the book is to create new habits based on four laws of behavior change, which are making it obvious, making it attractive, making it easy, and making it satisfying. And he talks about the four laws in this book and how to go about working on a new habit. And I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, that he also talks about working on just one habit at a time. So you're not trying to change, you know, like 10 different things. Like, let's say your goal is to be a healthier version of yourself. He suggests working on one at a time and making that habit you're trying to adopt obvious, attractive, easy, and satisfying. And then if there is something that you are trying to not do, let's say for a habit, it's sort of the opposite. It's an inversion of the four laws, which is making it invisible, making it unattractive, making it difficult, and making it unsatisfying, which is a little bit, I think, maybe even harder to do. To make a bad habit, you know, no longer work for you when it has for a long time. And so one thing I really think is important, and it's something that I think it makes his book a little bit different, is that he says, when you are trying to adopt a habit, try to think of the identity of the person you're trying to become. So let's say you want to write a book and you're not used to writing every single day or writing, you know, 5 days a week or something. You might try to, you know, set a habit to write every day for 15 minutes or for 1 hour or something. So you would think along the lines of, I'm a writer, you know, I write fiction, I'm a fiction author or something like that. And try to start adopting the identity of the person that you want to become with the new habits that you're trying to create in your life. And I think that thinking in that way is really helpful because it allows you to start seeing yourself as the better version of whatever you're trying to become. And there's a quote in this book which I thought was really good where he says, every action you take is a vote for the type of person you wish to become. No single instance will transform your beliefs, but as the votes build up, so does the evidence of your new identity. And I think that there's something to that. You know, we all have different choices we make throughout the day, and as we do that, you know, we get to sort of, as he says, make a vote for the type of person, the identity that you're trying to create in your life. And then sort of a separate maybe topic, but another quote that I really like from him is where he talks about systems. And that's what I kind of was mentioning earlier, is that a lot of his work is built on systems and processes. And he says, you do not rise to the level of your goals, you fall to the level of your systems. Mm-hmm. So he's mentioning that you should create systems that support the habits that you want to adopt and therefore the identity that you want to create for yourself. So I really do like his work quite a bit. He also has a website. I think maybe he has a blog that you can follow. And he has definitely an email list that I think is worthwhile. And I think that this is something that we can all apply to our life in some way. For me, I think I've mentioned here that I'm working on a book, and I was doing super well with writing every day for 30 minutes. 20 to 30 minutes tends to be a sweet spot for me, but I got out of that habit. And so thinking about this book again for this episode, it occurred to me that I need to sort of get back into that system and process and creating that identity again with the small steps forward, or as he says, the small votes towards that, you know, goal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great book. I love it too. And that's the kind of book that you will want to reread, I think, mm-hmm. once a year at least, you know, whenever you're, you know, working on a big project or tackling the next big goal. That's just a really nice, it's full of nice reminders of the things you probably already know, but you forget and you just need a little push in the right mm-hmm. direction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it kind of made me think of that too, because I reread it recently, and I remember Nora Diaz shared in the episode where she was our guest that there are some books that she rereads once a year. It's like a thing. The book I wanted to mention is the one written by Marie Forleo, and it's called Everything is Figureoutable. I think you actually gifted it to me the first time we met in person in Palm Springs, I remember. Or maybe you sent it to me before, but I remember I brought it.
I thought you gifted it to me. Could be.
I remember I brought it to the ATA conference in Palm Springs, and I was reading it there, and I finished it later. Anyway, mm-hmm. it's a great book, and it's the one too. It's a book too that I think, if not in full, it's something you can reread multiple times, especially certain chapters that kind of, you know, are relevant at the phase that you're in right now. Marie Forleo is an entrepreneur. She's a business coach, marketing expert. And this book is about simply the fact that we often face challenges in life, and they can be smaller or bigger challenges. Sometimes they can feel insurmountable. And you feel they can make you feel like you can't possibly tackle them. They can make you feel scared and upset and just really sad. But there are things you can do to turn it around and find a way out of a seemingly difficult situation. And she talks about creating your roadmap to the solution, believing in the fact that everything is figureoutable and that you can figure out a solution to a smaller or bigger problem, eliminating excuses, because sometimes we kind of prevent ourselves from achieving a goal because it just scares us, or we feel that we will fail, mm-hmm. And how to deal with the fear of failure. She also talks about starting before you're ready. And I find that part kind of, you know, I don't necessarily think it applies to every situation, especially mm-hmm. in business and especially in our field of work. But mm-hmm. I think that there are definitely situations where you are more ready than you think to mm-hmm. tackle something, yeah. but you're kind of holding yourself back. And another big thing that she talks about is progress, not perfection, which I think many of us who are perfectionists can relate to, that it's more important to make progress than focus on, like, is this really perfect? Is it ready? And really moving on to the next step rather than constantly tweaking things, which is hard for people who work with words, and we need a perfect result for our clients. But sometimes I feel like we could, you know, definitely spend more time wondering if something is correct. But the one tip that I really enjoyed in this book is about fear taming. And she quotes Stephen King, who said, if a fear cannot be articulated, it can't be conquered. So her advice is, whenever you feel like something feels very big and scary,
it can feel debilitating. You just can't move on because it's so scary. But her point is that it's scary because it's vague. You're not sure what you're scared of. You just feel like this is, you know, dangerous. This is risky. This is something that can turn out really bad for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And her advice is to write out the worst case scenario. Literally sit down with pen and paper and write out what you are afraid will happen. And then how likely is it to happen? And what can you do if it really does happen? And then write out the best case scenario. If you do go ahead with the thing that makes you scared, what are the benefits of actually moving forward? And how will you feel when you have done this thing? And her idea there is that we often make that fear bigger than it is in reality. You know, it could be something about, you know, creating a new branch of your business, diversifying, doing something new, and you feel like you're going to fail and you're going to become a laughingstock and, you know, your peers will no longer respect you. And then as you spell out your biggest fear in this situation, you realize that it's actually not something that's going to kill your business or make your business go under. You can recover from it, and you take the power out of it, you know, and you realize that the benefits of trying, even if you do fail, are bigger than not doing it at all. And that's something I think is valuable to remember in any business, but especially for those of us who have perfectionist tendencies and tendencies to think of something as scary, whether it is raising your rates or quoting a new client or reaching out to your dream client, we tend to think that this is scary, and we can't really articulate why. But if we do this exercise and really spell it out, we may realize that it's something we just made up in our head. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that thought about something is vague. I think it's a feeling of fear, right? Yeah. Fear of the unknown, feeling or fear of failure. I think that's what keeps a lot of people from doing the thing that they probably could figure out or that feels really big. And that's the other thing, too. You hear people say, well, if it were easy, then everybody would do it, right? Yeah. And it's that thought that, you know, oh, it's so big, I'll never be able to achieve it, or I failed in the past, so why would I be able to do it now, and that type of thing. And I think that's the real message there in creating the small steps, as she said, a roadmap with the small steps is the way to go. And that's what most of these books tend to, you know, lay out in different ways, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that take it one step at a time, because that's really the way to get there, because it's not going to happen overnight. But
right.
Yeah, I find her personality to be very electric, like energetic,
yes,
and enthusiastic.
Yeah.
And so it's a well-written book, I think, and it's also an uplifting book. I agree. I think it's a good one. And I love the whole word figure-outable.
Right. So. Yeah. She has and you don't necessarily agree with everything she suggests in the book.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of truth to the things she says. And she also has, I feel like she has a video series. I think it's called Marie TV. She has people call in with their business-related questions and she answers them. And it's like a 5-minute, you know, format, so they're really short, but they're really inspiring, many of them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and she's funny too. She's a bit of a theatrical person. Yes. Yeah. And so another book that I wanted to share is called Set Boundaries, Find Peace by Nedra Glover Taweb. And I realized after I read this, I was asking you and I said, have you read this book? And you're like, yes. And I realized you shared it in a previous episode. So it's actually already on our favorites page on our website.
Yeah. It's a great book.
It's really good. And I like the fact that the author is also a licensed therapist. Mm-hmm. So she's not just somebody who's talking about setting healthy boundaries in your life and how to do that. And the reason I think that this is worth talking about when it comes to smart habits is that a lot of the things we do are based on the choices we make every day with, you know, maybe people around us or even with ourselves. Mm-hmm. I believe she does in the book discuss, you know, setting boundaries with yourself too. But a lot of the things that we think about in terms of boundaries tend to have to do with other people. So you could think about this in terms of relationships such as client relationships or with colleagues or even, you know, maybe personal relationships, that if you don't have healthy boundaries, it could affect your business in some way. So mm-hmm. I think that that's really a useful thing to think about. Even if you think you have healthy boundaries, I think this book is worth reading because she points out things that a lot of us are not even thinking about. We might not be aware of. We might think, oh yeah, I have healthy boundaries, or I know I don't, but I don't really know how to change that. And so it's, I feel like the first maybe third of the book is really, or maybe not quite even a third, maybe first quarter of a book is really about creating awareness of like, what are boundaries? What's the cost of not having good mm-hmm. boundaries? And why don't we have healthy boundaries with other people many times? And there's different reasons for each person, right? But a lot of people, you know, can probably relate to certain areas and categories of reasons why they might not have healthy boundaries mm-hmm. In their life in some area. So I think that that's really useful. And I like the way she writes this book because she tells a story at the beginning of each chapter about somebody who didn't have a particular boundary that was healthy and how they changed it and what they did to do that and the steps they took, which are not, it's very doable. I feel like very actionable, this stuff in her book. Mm. And I think that this is a helpful thing, especially for business owners, for freelancers. It is something that is easy for us to forget what our boundaries could be because we think, well, we want to please our clients. We want them to just, right. you know, keep giving us work. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to say, oh, sure, I'll take that, even though you might have some plans for the weekend. Or, yes, I'll do that, even though you would really like to read a book this evening rather than work or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's okay to be able to tell clients, hey, I just can't get this today or something. You know, here's what works for me. And that is literally setting a boundary. And I think that that's worth looking at because mm-hmm. it seems like a small thing because it's something we often don't think about, but it is really a reflection of what your boundaries are with other people. And so this one I really like quite a bit. And I think it's worth not only checking out her book, but she has a good website, which we can link to in the show notes.
Yeah.
And she has, apparently she has classes I'm not familiar with, but she has classes. She has resources on her page, like worksheets and different things. If you're somebody who finds setting boundaries to be difficult, or if you don't, but you find that maybe there's one area of your business or your life that you find is difficult for you to set boundaries, her advice is very, very good, in my opinion. And I think she's just writes in such a very relatable way. Mm-hmm. So I would definitely check out her book. It's a short read, and it's one of those that you can get through pretty quickly. And we could all, you know, sort of refresh ourselves on, do we have healthy boundaries with our mm-hmm. people we work with in our business? It's never a bad thing to think about that.
Yeah, definitely. We all could benefit from some reminders and setting boundaries and actually sticking to them.
You're right.
And it's just like you said, you know, it makes total sense. Like you're on a weekend or you're on holiday or it's a long weekend and, you know, your clients are maybe in a different country and they don't have that public holiday that you're off to enjoy. Mm-hmm. And you always want to, we have this kind of, it's like an instinct. You, it's hard not to check your email or see if somebody has reached out to you. And it's also, it can be hard to say no when you know they need something and it's a client you enjoy working with. So it's a great reminder to actually stick to it. Sometimes we can be our own worst enemy and just like, you know, you're not available, but, you often are willing to inconvenience yourself and do it, you know, at night or whatever when mm-hmm. you're traveling, but rather than saying no or offering the time that would work for you as a delivery date.
Right.
And the book I wanted to mention next is one I mentioned on our podcast before. I can't remember which episode, but we can find that and link to it. It's called Tiny Habits, mm-hmm. The Small Changes That Change Everything by BJ Fogg. And it's a book written by an expert on habit building. He knows what he's talking about. Again, it's not someone who's like, you know, it's not just based on experience, but he actually has a company called Behavior Design Lab, and he has a PhD in this. So he offers something that's based on research. I really like this book. It can get a little overwhelming at times. So I think that, it, you know, like many other books, you just take from it what works for you. It's right. not, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to like follow the advice from A to Z. But he takes the advice in Atomic Habits and he kind of, you know, takes the next step, makes it more actionable, I feel like. Because his whole thing is the easier a behavior you're trying to achieve is to do, the more likely you're going to reach that goal and make it a habit. And for that to happen, he suggests that the action you should take, the steps should be something you can do in less than 30 seconds. So really tiny changes. And he talks a lot about the fact that we often set goals like, I want to lose weight, or I want to work out more, or I want to eat healthier, or I want to write a book, or, you know, write an article, or whatever you want to achieve professionally. But this is vague, A, and B, quite a big goal. We don't break them up into manageable steps. And then we feel like a failure because we haven't achieved whatever we wanted to achieve, or we haven't done it to the extent we were hoping to do. So he talks about making tiny changes, because if they're manageable, bite-sized things that we are able to do in 30 seconds or less, we're more likely to have that feeling of accomplishment that will drive us to take the next step. And we are slowly but surely moving forward in the right direction towards that big goal. And he talks in his book about an analysis that you can do, you know, when you're thinking through what habits you would like to achieve or what habit you would like to break. So his suggestion is to do what he calls easy to do analysis. What is making this behavior hard to do? So if I want to write every day for 30 minutes and I feel like I'm not doing that, what is it exactly that prevents me from doing it? So writing it out, what are all the things that I feel like are preventing me from achieving that, making it a habit, and how can I make this behavior easier to do? What are small tiny steps I can take, not all at once, but one by one, that will help me achieve and make this a habit? And then finally, what is the starter step? What is the absolute first step I can take? And sometimes it's the smallest thing. Like if your goal is to write every day for 30 minutes, then the first thing you do is open the Word document. That's all. And so he makes this analogy of like, if I want to take up running and if I want to run for 30 minutes every day, I'm not going to make that my starter step. My starter step will be to put the shoes by the door. That's it.
Yes.
So before I go to bed, I put the shoes by the door. And then once you've done it a few times, you have achieved, you know, have successfully completed that tiny change, made that tiny habit. And then you can move on to the next tiny step. So what's also I find really nice and something that can be applicable to many different situations in life is at the end of the book, he has, it's kind of like not checklist, but it's ideas for tiny habits you can make in various areas of life. So he has those for business owners, freelancers, working moms, working dads, like, you know, people working at the office, people working from home. And he has like, I don't want to, you know, say it incorrectly, but I want to say it's like 50 to 100 to 100 ideas for each of these areas. And they're really, sometimes not all of them apply to your particular situation, but it's guaranteed you're going to find some that applies to you. So I find that really, really interesting that it's kind of like these are prompts that you can use if you're kind of stuck and you don't know what do I start with? You can use one of the prompts and start with that and then move on into the direction that works for you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Sometimes it is just that first step, right? Mm-hmm. And then I think that the point of that is to like not to have that list of multiple things be an overwhelming list, but just that there's so many things you can choose from, right?
Yeah,
that you can get started with, and it makes it very actionable. And a lot of times it is just that first step that it feels like the hardest part for some reason, but it is what will keep you get the momentum started, right? To keep going.
Yeah,
that's cool.
And sometimes even that first step is too big. You know, that's his point. Is like we say, okay, I'm gonna write for 5 minutes, but you should break it down into smaller things, 30 seconds or less.
Wow, I like that. I haven't read that one, but I'm gonna add that to my list to read. Okay, so the last book I wanted to mention is a very short read. I think you gave me this book, actually. And it's, if anybody's familiar with the Full Focus Planner, this is the same company that created that planner we've talked about here quite a few times. The book is called No Fail Habits, And it's written by Michael Hyatt and Company. Michael Hyatt is the owner of the company that creates Full Focus Planner. They recently changed their name to Full Focus. But yeah, he's the main guy. And I like this book a lot because it's a quick read, it's easy, and he really looks at habits from the sense of creating rituals in your life. And again, if you're familiar with the Full Focus Planner, it has an area where you can create a startup ritual for the beginning of your day and a shutdown ritual for the end of your day, so that you have these sets of habits on at the beginning and end of your day that help you feel like, if I get this done, I'm setting myself up to have a productive day or to have a successful day, or however it goes, you know, meaning like most days of the week, the typical routine of your life. Mm. And what I think is important is the way that he talks about these habits, or the habits that you want to create in your life, it's not from the perspective that we've all heard, which is like, it takes 60 days to create a habit or whatever the number is that mm-hmm. people say statistically it takes, but more along the lines of what you were saying about the small habits, starting with like, something to make it obvious for you to make sure that you do it. So you either tack it on to something else you already do, which is also a concept that, what's his name from Atomic Habits, James Clear, mm-hmm. Mentions, which is called habit stacking, but also to make it super obvious to where you see something that's related to your habit every day so that you just can't miss it. And he was talking about wanting to run a half marathon. So he was not in the habit of running every day. So what he did is that he realized he was missing his morning runs. He was sleeping in. And so he ended up putting his like workout gear or his running gear in front of the bathroom door, so that when he'd wake up in the morning, if he wanted to, you know, blow it off and not run that day, well, he had to actually step over mm-hmm. his gear to get to the bathroom, because that was something he did every morning as part of, you know, his routine of the day. And it would be a reminder that, hey, like, you decided on this, that this is the habit you wanted to create for yourself, or the identity of being a runner or something like that. And making it obvious and making it something small. So like mm-hmm. setting out your stuff the night before. I think what I really like too is that each chapter is very short and doable. And at the end of each chapter, there's sort of a section. It's not a worksheet, but it's called a momentum builder. Mm. And it helps you think about, you know, what are your motivations? What are the things you can set up to sort of trigger you to get moving with the habit you're trying to create or the goal you're trying to achieve, sort of like cues to trigger you mm-hmm. to do the next thing. And then the response, the behavior that you want to, in other words, automate by creating a habit. You're sort of trying to automate this in your life to where you don't really have to think about it every day, negotiate with yourself every morning or whatever it is, mm-hmm. you know, every time you want to do this particular thing. So he talks about it from the perspective of, you know, a lot of people in business say you should automate things to make it more, you know, a part of your regular work day or something like that. And it comes from that perspective, which at first I was kind of like, oh, automating, you know, habits sounds a little weird, but it actually does make very good sense after a while, because the key is to not give yourself a lot of time to make a choice to talk yourself out of it, right? Because mm-hmm. we all make so many choices in a day. Basically, everything we do in a day is based on a choice.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, what time am I starting work? Well, if you always start at the same time every day, you've created that habit. It's no longer a choice, which takes up a lot of brain power. Or
right. Yeah, does it call it decision-making fatigue or something?
Yes, that's exactly what it's called. And it sounds like, I used to think that was sort of like a silly kind of like, you know, thing that people are like, oh, decision fatigue. But it's mm-hmm. a true thing. It really is a big, you know, big thing that really can be exhausting. And that's why they say that towards the end of the day or towards the end of the week, if you haven't created healthy habits already, which in this book they say, you know, more like automated things in your life, like having some healthy meal prepped or mm-hmm. something like that, it's much easier to make poor choices like, oh, I'm so tired, I'll just order takeout. Mm-hmm. And then that becomes sort of a habit you're not really, you know, excited to have. Yeah. I mean, it might taste good at the time, but it's not something you want to do every night. And it's something that I think most of us probably don't think about. It is true. At the end of the day, we're tired. We don't want to create more work for ourselves, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So this is the idea of creating less work for yourself by working on these things up front. And I think that that's a really cool perspective. So a lot of these books, like what we're talking about, have a lot of similar you know, threads in them, but yeah. they look at them from different perspectives. Right. So I think it's important what you said. It's like, take what works for you and leave the rest. But think about it, thinking about habits in a different way and what will help you to get toward your goal or, you know, a specific, you know, identity that you mm-hmm. would like to take on in your own business or your own life, is a healthy thing to do by starting small and, right. and seeing what works for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I wanted to mention a book that is really special. It was my last book for today. Mm-hmm. It's written by our colleague and friend and our and a guest, past guest in our episode multiple times, mm-hmm. Yves Baudet. And it's a book called Maintaining Your Second Language. And it's just amazing for all of us who work with language, mm-hmm. languages, translators, interpreters, teachers, and even if you're raising kids. And, you know, and speak multiple languages with them. It's full of ideas, really like practical strategies on how to maintain your first or second or third language. Because we often focus on various aspects of our business that would help us become better translators or interpreters. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's the part that's the most important and at the same time, the easiest to forget to take care of regularly. Because, you know, we use the language skills are a crucial part of being a translator and interpreter, but we don't think about making it a habit and doing something to maintain them on a regular basis. So she has lots of great ideas in the book, but I think some of my favorite ones are to enable lyrics. If you like to sing along to the songs, you know, if you listen mm-hmm. to music and you like singing along, to enable lyrics. And that way it's not just the sort of the auditory process, it's also visual. You mm-hmm. look at the, you know, I think it's really nice to combine these things. And also, like she suggests, and I think we talked about it on our podcast one time, I think you mentioned that reading aloud, like if you're reading yes. a book or an article, mm-hmm. you're not just reading it to yourself, but you're reading it out loud. And that's just another aspect of maintaining a language. I think there are lots of other things that could be helpful if you're preparing for, say, an interpreter exam or a certification exam if you're a translator, because you really need to focus on specific aspects of language that maybe you need to pay more attention to. Or even if you're preparing for a test with a new client, you will find some ideas in the book. You could listen to a podcast on a specific topic, or if you're building a new specialization, you could listen to some, you know, podcast or watch videos, but in another language, not necessarily, because sometimes we choose the language that seems more natural to us, and it's not necessarily the language you actually should be maintaining and working on, and kind of alternating that too. But I think the key here would be to really make it a habit, would be to write out the ideas that you think would be the most fun or practical for you to implement on, say, a daily or weekly basis, and really make it actionable. Say, I'm going to listen to, you know, on Mondays and Fridays, I will listen to a podcast for 10 minutes and really write out what kind of podcast it is, or even put it in your library, download the episode right away. If you're going to, say, apply a different tip she shares too, that I really like, crossword puzzles, doing crossword puzzles in your working languages. Yeah. Just have it ready. As I think you said in one of the episodes, do something today that your tomorrow self will thank you for. Mm-hmm. Was that it? So really making sure it's there for you to go ahead and do when you need it to, especially if you only stay dedicated 15 minutes for that task, mm-hmm. For it to become a successful thing and really a habit, you need to make sure it's a routine. And I also think our colleague Corinne McKay, she shared a couple of blog posts on how she prepared for her interpreter exams. And she followed some of these strategies. You know, she really picked the time, the duration of the time she will do each thing. You know, if it's listening to watching videos or listening to podcasts in different languages that she was practicing for, making it as taking the decision-making aspect mm-hmm. out of it, so that all you have to do is actually do the task. Yeah, and I think it's pretty obvious why it's important for our work. But again, as I said before, we don't always think about maintaining our language skills unless we're preparing for, say, a test or exam or working on something. But I think I found it useful, too, when I, say, pick up a new client and it's a topic that I maybe don't have too much exposure to in the language I'm going to translate into, just to make sure you have more up-to-date vocabulary on that topic and relevant vocabulary. It's a good idea to do some apply some of the strategies that Eve shares in the book to make sure that you not only maintain your language but also pick up the have the skills and the vocabulary to do the task correctly.
Yeah, I like that. And I think that's super practical. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's something that you can use right away. And you can see the effects of hopefully right away in your work. Yeah, awesome. And it's a wonderful book. Yeah. I really like this book as well. So, wow. Okay, well, that's a huge amount of information on habits that we've shared in a short episode about our favorite books, but I'm really glad we did this. I'm sure we could talk about more books for hours, but that's probably all the time that we should spend today. So we'd like to hear more from you, our listeners and colleagues, about your favorite books on habits and how you apply the advice in your work and personal life. You can leave us a comment on the show notes page for this episode, which you'll find on our website. Or you can tag us on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Or you could even email us at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com.
Yes, we'd love to hear from you about your favorite books. And if you'd like to check out any of the books that we shared today, you can find them in the show notes for this episode on our website, smarthabitsfortranslators.com. And finally, we want to let you know that we will be taking a break this summer. So we'll be posting one episode a month from now through September. Our next episode will come out in mid-July, and our email subscribers will be the first to know about our special guest. So if you're not receiving your emails yet, please sign up on our website, smarthabitsfortranslators.com.
And if you liked this episode, we'd be really grateful if you shared it with other colleagues. So please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. This only takes a minute, and reviews help other translators and interpreters find the podcast. If you're not sure how to leave a review, we've recorded a quick video tutorial to show you how to do it, and you can find that in our show notes.
Talk to you soon.
We hope you enjoyed this episode and discovered some simple strategies that you can apply today at work or at home to help you achieve the lifestyle you desire. If you did, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
If you have a topic you want us to cover, please send us a message at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com. If you liked this episode, we'd appreciate if you'd leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. And please share the podcast with other translators you know.